Greetings and salutations. You are now in the current moment where we keep you current on all things KC Current. My name is Tom Baum, and I am honored to be joined by our guest today. You may have heard his dulcet tones on Boots on the Ground. We are so lucky to have Vince in the building.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here. All that stuff. Yeah, Tom, I'm happy we could lock in.
Yes.
For this, we missed the last one.
Yes, and but, I'm glad that we...
I just wanted to say, to get this out the way, just go and lock me in for every time Current play racing. You know what I'm saying? It don't even got to be... You know, we don't got to do any preamble beforehand. Right. Just hit me up like, hey, what time this week? You know, and we locked in. We locked in.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you for being so gracious with your time. So I think we definitely want to dive into this latest Current Louisville match that happened on Friday night. You were in the building.
What was the
vibe of Lynn Family Stadium like? Because I believe that they set an attendance record. The club did, correct?
We had for the season where we had like 8,100, almost 8,200, I want to say. And I think it's just the fact that we came into the break in a good position. We came into the break in a good position in the table, and we had just beat Orlando Pride. So for like anybody that was like kind of on the fence, like, is this team for real? It's like, okay, we are going into the break with a statement win, especially in this period, like where it's just we played KC, Orlando, KC, and then Orlando four matches. So it's like, you know, we did well to get ourselves into a position to where we were in a playoff spot. And then it's like, you see this four game run. And then on top of that, you throw the Spirit and Wave to end it off. And it's a murderer's row of six matches. So we get to go into the long break, a month of promotion, of telling people to come out, you know,
sure,
whatever. And then also a strong Current contingent for sure. Like when that first goal was scored, you could definitely hear him.
You could definitely hear him.
And then once the match was over as well, cause you know, I'm kind of, my seats for racing are like kind of on the concourse.
Okay.
Like basically like right behind her, Michelle Cooper played that cross for the goal. Okay. And so I can't really see the stands, you know, sure, that like they're above me, you know, but once I heard the cheer after Current scored that goal and then saw them come down to meet the players on the pitch for them to walk by whatever and clap them off or whatever, I was like, wow. So strong KC contingent match with some of our Lou City fans, I guess, that don't come out racing matches because, you know, let's face it, for the, 4 years that we've been going at it now. Mm. So I think all that came together and gave us a nice atmosphere for this match. So, yeah, I was excited to see it.
You could tell even through the broadcast that there was something special going on at Lynn Family Stadium that night. What was not so special was that pitch.
I mean, look, man, it looked how it looked, but it be getting the job done. I don't know, our groundskeeper be winning awards and shit, like, so I don't even know. Like, look, I guess there's more than what meets the eye to when it comes to this grass stuff. But I did think about this while watching the match. It's playing well, it seems. It does look a little Frankenstein-y with like the patches and all that going on.
Yeah.
But it's like there was a lot of action on that pitch over this break. A lot of Lou City matches. We had Eintracht Frankfurt versus Aston Villa.
That's right.
The week before, Eintracht Frankfurt, Louisville City. Racing playing Lexington SC. et cetera, et cetera. It's just there's a lot going on, you know. And so, I mean, it is what it is. I know that. I mean, let's face it. Everything involved with racing at this point is a meme. You know what I'm saying? I'm on the Shea Butter FC network. I mean, Sky be coming from for our next whatever, whenever she got a chance. You feel me? I get it. I get it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we wasn't in the league a hot second. We in the Sally Yates report. I mean, it was crazy.
Yikes.
It was real nasty. Man, matter of fact, it was crazy. Like, I remember, you know, I'm scrolling. It was still Twitter at that time. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Scrolling Twitter, it comes through. Like, I literally just got in the bed and, like, got under the covers for 2 hours. I was just like, come on, y'all.
I was like, I can't do it.
Y'all can't be serious.
Yeah, I can't. Ooh, that's rough.
But that's part of the thing that's kind of led me to making sure that I'm more of a rare than a Louisville City guy. I mean, first of all, it's just pertinent for boots on the ground. Like, as somebody that covers the national team, the NWSL is obviously very pertinent to the national team, but also it's just like, just being a face and being there and make sure that the team has support, you know?
Yes.
Definitely. From the outside. And so, yeah, that is, and that's another thing. I think, you know, all this stuff plays into it, right? The losing,
mm-hmm.
the controversy, the cheapness.
Yes.
You know, the unwillingness to spend from what it seems on the outside, you know, et cetera. So it all plays into it. But yeah, I think that coming back to the crowd once again, yeah, I think we're kind of coming out of the malaise. And if we can just make it, if we can make it to the end and just get in the playoffs, which Tom, I appreciate you.
First of all, I'm glad that you listened to the mega crossover episode, Diaspora United. I said that I thought that based off of how Racing Louisville played Kansas City in Kansas City, and then mm-hmm. the fact that they then like went and beat Orlando at home, I thought that yes, this stretch of six matches is rough for them, but if they can get out of those like with mm-hmm. a third of those points, like if they can get out of theirs, like with six of those points,
right,
they'll be okay. Like, cause right. they got the rest of the table to play with. And I think that they're going to dominate the rest of the table. And I still think that that's still on the table, that a home game for Louisville. I feel like that's the ceiling.
I think so too. If we get that, I mean, we're looking at 10, 11K in the stadium.
For sure. Hopefully. Oh, for sure.
Like that's gonna go crazy. But so yeah, I appreciate you. I appreciate you holding us much so. What was I about to say? I done lost it.
So let's get a bit into the
that's what it was.
The lineup?
I done lost it again.
Oh,
no. that's what it was. I'm sorry, listener. But I was talking to somebody after the match, and I'm like, yo, if we play this exact same match against the Pride, we win in the game.
Yes,
we're winning. I'm. Look, y'all are a different. Just a whole different thing altogether. With the talent that y'all can put on the pitch, yeah, it's just yeah, y'all are a whole different animal. We just saw Orlando Pride, and they just don't have Abia, Chawinga, Cooper, Clara Hutton, Labonta. You know, it's not that. Not this year. Not this year. Not right now. And we'll see if Marta play. I assume Marta will be available, but let's say we don't get Marta in that match. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
I think
that's a very real possibility.
Because I thought we handled ourselves admirably against y'all. Ultimately, there was just there's just too much firepower. And we can see that the two goals, but especially that first half, like I come away from this match pretty encouraged, to be honest. So we can get to the lineup.
Okay. Was there any like player that started or was in the 18 that was just kind of a surprise to you?
Okay. So the whole thing was in flux, right? Because while I was at the Eintracht Frankfurt Aston Villa match, I was doing media stuff at that match for my Broso pod, the Scuff podcast. But so I was sitting up top on the outside part of the press box, and over walks Lauren Millay and her family, and she's in a heavy sling. You know, you got different degrees to the slings, you know what
yes.
I'm saying?
Yes.
And she's in one of those ones where, like, the arms propped up, and it got a pad on
yeah.
it. So
I'm like,
so then I'm sitting next to, like, her mother-in-law, and we, like, strike up a conversation or something, and she's like, I'm telling her, like, I live here, and she's like, you go and stuff. I'm like, yeah. She's like, oh yeah, my daughter-in-law plays. I was like, I know. I was like, I see that sling over there. She like really hurt. Is that precaution? And she just looked at me. She was like, I was like, ah. So Lauren Millay, Racing Louisville's Iron Woman, who set the NWSL record for consecutive appearances
right
here recently, is out for the. I don't know if they've announced it yet, but look, she got a broken collarbone. She got a broken collarbone. So. She is out, and so that throws our whole lineup in flux, right? We, like I said, consecutive appearance champ. We haven't had to put together a single Racing Louisville lineup without Lauren Millay starting in it, I don't think.
Right.
And so that leading into the match is like, what's going on? I get word coming out of like Bev's media availability and everything that we're putting Janine Sonas back there. Because we really don't have like a backup right back.
Sure.
So I get where they were putting Janine Sonas back there, and I actually felt okay about that from all of our options, you know, because she's more of a defensive winger in the first place, kinda.
Yeah.
You know, she runs around a lot, runs up and down, can put in a good service for you.
Yeah, she's gonna get up and down and like get in and as a Man City fan, I've seen this. I've seen her movies like when Gareth Taylor made her be a right back. I knew that she could do it. I guess I was just thinking more like, ooh, that's a. I don't know why you would sacrifice that piece to Chimwichewinga like that.
I mean. It just is what it is, you know what I'm saying? Somebody gotta be a tribute, you know, right. to who I think, first of all, is I even thought this last year when it was like Banda Chewinga, I'm like, come on, man. Like Chewinga is different. As nice as Barbara Banda is, like Timo Chewinga, cold. My favorite player to watch in the league, by far. And yeah, just an absolute force of nature. So it was going for regardless of who's playing right back. It's not like Lauren Millay was going to.
Right.
You know, but we have seen, I'm thinking about, what was that Pride match, I want to say, when Vlatko just parked Chewinga over on that right wing, and just whenever y'all got the ball back, they were just firing like blind balls over there.
Yep.
And she absolutely chewed. I want to say scored like two goals in that match, I want to say. But anyway, yeah, it was just going to have to. Anybody else we would have put over there would have been worse, put it like that. And we kind of have depth at the attacking spots. Not that they're necessarily, well, Uche's good.
Yes.
But we don't. I kind of refuse to believe that we're not playing her because we're choosing to do that. You know, I mean, she started off last season like on fire.
Yeah.
Going crazy before she got this like recurring knee issue that just wouldn't go away for the, like the rest of the season and went into like this preseason and everything. So I don't know. I feel like something weird's going on there, but anyway, with her and Ella Haas, that's kind of where our quote unquote depth is. Like I said, it's not that. Well, Alahas isn't a game changing player, and an unhealthy Uchenna-Kanu isn't a game changer. I guess it, weird stuff's going on there, but yeah, that's where we had our depth at. So make that move.
I was impressed by Haas's tenacity. Maybe not like her technical ability or like she's gonna stay in your face.
Mm-hmm.
She might not get there when the ball's there, but she's gonna stay in your face.
Yeah. I wasn't too mad at what she had going on. She was in like trying to take people on. She didn't like you said, it's like she didn't necessarily win the take-ons, especially when it's like Haley Mace, which when I saw Haley first time last year when the USWNT played in Louisville, like Haley Mace was in that camp.
She was.
And I went to training and everything or whatever. And I mean, Haley Mace is a physical specimen.
Yes.
I couldn't tell that on TV.
The way, like, and you can tell it in the way that she runs. Like, she runs like she's got like a very like strong, defined musculature. Like, she's like people who have defined muscles like that run like the way that she does.
Yeah.
It's like, oh gosh.
Yeah. So, Ella Haas, fresh out of I think Duke.
Duke. Yeah.
So yeah, she just don't got that same type of strength.
No.
To be able to go up against Haley Mace like that. But she did face her up, try to, you know, push it past or whatever. And so I don't want a winger out there that's just gonna get the ball and pass the ball backwards, you know.
Sure.
Like at the very least, she tried some stuff and we can just work on what we got. So
but that was, I mean, while that was a nice little like view of the match, like a thing to view in the match, that wasn't the main matchup. The main matchup in this match, by far, the center midfield, Lola Bonta and Claire Hutton versus Taylor Flint.
Mm.
Taylor Flint was outstanding in this match. Taylor Flint had 22 defensive actions. The next highest player had 12.
Yeah. That's what she does, though. Like, she does it consistently.
Yes.
Consistently. And I know if you just look up, like, Taylor Flint's FB ref page or whatever, her passing accuracy looks crazy. Absolutely insane. But you gotta, like, I wish there was some way to take out all these damn headers, man. Because it's like she wins 10, 12 headers. And it's like, not only does she win them, she's so dominant that people are just like, they're playing for the second balls.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, Taylor's going to get this header. Let's go ahead and get situated so we can scrap for these second balls. And so that hurts her pass accuracy tremendously. When she's feeling it, she can really do her thing on the ball. But yeah, the defensive stuff, it's insane. And it's, I've been a Taylor Flint guy for, since she was at the Wave. Because one time she came to Louisville and her and Jalen Howell just watching them two go back and forth.
Oh yes.
it was cinema, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I was like, man, this is I like Taylor Flint. Like that's a player right there. But, you know, that season at Wave before she came to Louisville, I think she had like some back issues or something. Cause she was moving terribly.
Yes.
Like, she was moving like, I don't know, Frankenstein or something. You know what I'm saying? But then it's like she comes here and she's like, she's everywhere. She's moving fluidly. She can chase people down and tackle the ball off people. Like I saw her. I mean, last year she chased down Jameis Joseph.
Yeah.
In a full sprint. Like Taylor can open them legs up and get to it. And so, but yeah, she just, I think I looked at halftime. She had won 14 duels.
Yes.
In this match. And it's just like, yeah. So that's how the match started out for me. It's just like, I want to say those first 10 minutes, it's like we actually started off kind of bright because,
yes,
you know, we got the ball to the final third a couple times. And then it's like, okay, our attacks were breaking down because of the work that mostly Lola Bonta was doing. you know, I think our advanced midfielders were pretty poor. Katie O'Kane and Savannah DeMello, touches were off, passes were off, etc. And Lola Bonta was out there hunting,
yes,
cleaning anything loose she was getting to. But then it's like she would get the ball and try to release it to somebody. Here comes Taylor Flint, just reading the
yes,
reading the play, go gadget leg, right into the passing lane, whatever. I'm like, yo. And so once again, we didn't do anything with these turnovers or whatever. But yeah, it's just you saw both players, and you know, Claire. I love Claire Hutton. I've been a huge fan since. Not necessarily day one, but let's say like day two or something. but who popped off the screen for me, especially in that first match, was Lola Bonta. Over, and that was just fun to watch. Man.
That like just, and it's so interesting because there's such different types of center defensive midfielders, like just because of her size, like Flint's going to be able to like break up play a little bit more, like, and then to your point, like Lo is just going to be around you enough to like, you need to make sure that your touch is correct, mm-hmm, or she's just going to snatch the ball from you, right. And like it's just interesting to see like two very vastly different center defensive midfielders go at it. I think there was a play, and like it was probably like from as a like observer of the match, like, mm-hmm, it was probably like what needed to happen when Taylor Flint tackled the ball off of Lola Bonta. Like it was, mm-hmm, towards the end of the first half.
Yeah.
I was like, that is everything that this match has been, like all match. Like, and it was like, yes, it was a physical tackle, but it was a clean tackle. Like, it was like that first half, just absolute like box office midfielding,
important midfielding things. Yeah, it was fun to see. And it's like, I mean, you know, if you're a real ball watcher, you know, you watching that midfield, you, yes, know, that's where the soccer happens.
Correct.
Right. It's in that midfield. And so, yeah, it was interesting to see. And then also just from another thing I noticed just from watching the matches, like we paid y'all a lot of respect, you know, just the, yeah, fact that we weren't pressing as high as we have that we will against other teams. You know, I mean, even the Pride, you know, it's like, yeah, but the fact that y'all got ball handlers in the back line. And if we did come up on everybody and y'all just ended up Olaying us, like, it's just, we're just setting ourselves up for failure. So, paid y'all a little bit of respect and kind of sat back, like our line of confrontation.
I think that, and that was so like surprising for me, like just seeing all of the possession that like Louisville was allowing Kansas City to have, because, yeah, like, mm-hmm, as a general rule, Kansas City does not want to have the ball for too long. Like, yeah, so like the 59-41 split is probably going to be one of their highest this season.
Hmm. So like I said, just in y'all's like regular setup, just like going from goalkeeper to defenders to defensive midfielders, you know, there were just too many people to try and get to impress, and they can all kind of handle the ball. So I did see kind of Savannah DeMello would kind of wander away from Lo a little bit, mm-hmm, just to see if somebody would pass the ball to Lo. And then once Lo got it, we would try to pressure her. And then if she made a back pass, then we'd be on it. Cause then you can kind of cut the field in half.
Right.
You know, like let's say she makes a back pass to Haley Mace. Then it's like, okay, we're running to her. We're cutting off Lo, of course. And then we're cutting off, which one's right? Which one's left? Sharples, right?
Sharples, was left. She was left actually that match. Cause Elizabeth Ball was right.
Yeah. 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 So we tried to cut off the field. Cut off half the field that way. And that brings another thing into my into the 11, where it's like, okay, if we are gonna pay y'all that type of respect, can we carry Debo in the lineup? Mm-hmm. And for those of y'all don't know, I call Debo's Kayla Fisher.
Wait, I wasn't ready. Okay. I mean, points are being made. That's not the type of forward you could probably do that with.
Yeah, because it's just like, I mean, look, I know everyone hates Kayla Fisher. And look, I am not here to defend her. She do be wildin', okay? But let me tell you, she has wild less since she's been able to play striker. Number one, because she can be more physical legally. You know, you get more contact just from like hold up play and stuff like that. And I think we probably should have had her as striker for a long time now. Just because, like, I remember watching her Ohio State tape when we drafted her, and she played on the wing, but she played it very strikerly. Like, she just received, she came inside and received the ball back to goal, like, all the time. And before I knew that this was like a recurring pattern of behavior, I thought it was hilarious. Like, I think they were playing like Alabama or something. And so she would receive it back to goal and just try to roll her defender and just go from there, you know? And so she tries to roll this girl from Alabama. and like Kayla, I mean, we all know Kayla's like real physical with it. You know, she's like really shoulders and everything while he's trying to turn her. And old girl takes offense to it, like pushes Kayla. And like Kayla like starts pushing her back or whatever. Like they're facing each other now. And the whistle has not been blown. The ball is just sitting here. And they get... There is no whistle, nothing. And they just, I mean, they almost come into fisticuffs while the ball is just in play, you know? So I later learned that this is just Kayla Fisher all the time. But yeah, Debo, as I affectionately call her, she's effective when we can high press. And she's a great presser.
Yeah.
Big, can run all day. You know, we've seen her make game changing plays and, you know, Angel City match, Portland match, just from her ability to press, etc. But sitting in a mid block, then it's like, okay, maybe we should reconsider what we're doing here.
Yeah.
You know, Bethany Balser's back, which it would probably be tough to throw her back in and just start against the current, sure. You know, this first match. But I do think going forward, that might be something we should kind of reconsider. But, you know, once we get out of this stretch, we probably can high press everybody else. So, yeah. I don't know. We'll see going forward. But, yeah, the fact that Bethany Balser is here and back and available, it does throw a wrench in the thing. So we'll see how it goes.
But so going into like the 60th minute, like the 62nd minute.
Yep.
Are you at that point? Are you thinking like, okay, Bev is just playing this for a draw or like a smash and grab type of home win? Like
I was hoping. I was starting to hope because, like I said, up to that point, it's like we're playing all right.
Right.
We're playing all right. Like there were some things that happened in transition where y'all got kind of off and running. And we're doing like some last minute scramble defending. But another thing about that is we've actually been pretty good at last minute scramble defending because, you know, we're a high press team. Like those are the situations you're going to be put in.
Right.
Like Ellie Jean and Aaron Wright have done a pretty good job of handling these things. So like, yeah, I'm starting to dream. I'm like, man, look, if we can get this point and now we are. What's that? 66% of the way to 6 points.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I'm like, man, come on, let's go ahead and get this, and then
it's so weird to like talk about like a captain and like how they switch off, but like looking at that Tim Wichowinga goal, like it, like the fact that Aaron Wright didn't track Chiwinga's run after she passed the ball to Lacho. Mm. Like I was I was kind of in shock. It was like, you make that play. Like you're usually there. Like, or yeah. like I get that Chewinga is fast, and like that was, and she put on a very like it was like, oh gosh, she went from the top of like from the top of the 18 to the top of the 6 in like no time at all.
Bruh. And like I said earlier in the episode, I'm right there in line with it, right? I'm right there behind Michelle Cooper as she lines that ball up. And yeah, once I saw Chewinga get on our horse, I was like, yo. And it was because, you know, she doesn't have to worry about offsides in that situation. You know, the ball is low enough. And just watching her take off, I'm like, man, this is a goal. I have resigned to it because, I mean, another thing that we've upon stuff is just the fact that, I mean, Michelle and her delivery is just like, she is.
It's gotten so much better.
She doesn't miss.
Like, just, it's so pinpoint accurate. It's crazy.
Yeah. Whether it's low, across, an actual cross, whatever, like, she's really like picking out and putting the ball in play. I mean, you know, you've seen it. A lot of people get in those positions and just, I'm going to cut it back, you know, which is like the new version of the mixer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of pumping the cross, I'm going to put this little angle cut back in or whatever. Right. I mean, you're a Man City fan, you know all about that. But
Lord knows. Lord knows.
But yeah, she just picks it. I mean, she perfect place. Perfect place, right in that little piece of daylight between where our defensive line had collapsed to and between the goalposts or whatever. Just, 1-0.
1-0. And like at that point, I was like, okay, I do feel like Louisville can still get one back. Like they're going to have to change a lot, but they can still get one back. And I think if that was the point at which like Fisher had come out by then.
Yeah, yeah. Sarah Weber was in the match.
Yeah.
Which Sarah Weber, another rookie who has actually kind of acquitted herself well, especially in this, you know, we didn't even talk about what Debo was coming back from.
Right.
You know, when she was up in this lineup, you know, her horrific hair pulling incident. But in those three games where she was suspended, Sarah Weber played pretty well in her stead, won a penalty against Orlando Pride, set up Ari Borges for a beautiful chance against the Pride that Ari hit off the post, unfortunately. Scored a winner against, who was that? Utah? Mm-hmm. Against Utah at home. So I was kind of hopeful, but once again, just like the play of like our approach play, right? I mean, just when we got in the final third, it was like we just couldn't make nothing happen. We're just too sloppy with it. So I was holding out hope, but I was like, a goal.
And I wonder how much we talked about her like starting at right back. I wonder how much of that was the fact that Sonice was starting at right back, so that delivery that she can give was not really there.
Yeah, it really wasn't. She was not. Well, we will see her be able to push up more in other matches, which is another reason why I'm still pretty optimistic about what we got going on. But it's like, yeah, I mean, I think I was kind of counting a little bit, like the number of times that she was able to pop up in the attack. I mean, she took one like frustration shot when she, because you know she's. It was Eminem. You got one shot.
Right. Exactly.
You did not miss it. You know, she had to go ahead and take that one. And then I think it was like probably two, maybe three more times that she was able to get into the attack at all in this match. Like I said, going forward, I think we'll see a lot more. But yeah, that delivery wasn't there. Emma Sears. See, I got some problems with Emma because there were opportunities, especially in that first half, where we're getting in the final third, somebody's receiving the ball, turning, looking up. And I mean, there was space, right? There was space in between it wasn't a ton of space, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, the ball's in the attacking third now, or approaching the attacking third, but it's like there's like 10, 15 yards for like Emma to run into.
Mm-hmm.
And they were looking for Emma to be, you know, you should already have kind of started your run.
Right.
Whether it's like, you know, if you're on the touchline, do a little out the end, you know what I'm saying? Where you just, you know, where you're leaving your fullback and splitting like the little fullback center back gap or whatever. And that they're looking for her, and it's like, she's just standing, she's at a standstill, right. You know? And it's those things where it's like, she needs to, I believe that she's a game better. And it wasn't, there's multiple times where like, sometimes the ball was even played where they're like, yo, I mean, you're Emma Sears. You are the fastest person.
Yeah, you're the fastest person on the team, or at least on the pitch at this point.
Yeah, like, run.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, she's too content to just stand out there and just like be like, hey, can y'all just bring me the ball? You know, maybe I'll do something with it when I get it. Like, you know, she did roast Izzy a couple. When she did come into the game a little bit, but we needed more from her in this match. And this is something that tends to happen to her, especially in matches like this, where she can kind of just disappear. And it's not necessarily all on, it's not like Kansas City doing like just some excellent job. Or us doing like a bad job. It's just she kind of takes herself out of the match at times.
Sure.
So,
rather than talk about the second goal, I want to ask you this question, like, because it's been kind of, we've kind of alluded to it, like in the fact that like you call Kayla Fisher Debo, Racing Louisville is a gritty team. Like there was 28 fouls in this match. Mm-hmm. 16 of them by Louisville. I guess it's like looking at the team on the pitch and then looking at Bev Yanez's playing career. Mm-hmm. They don't mesh. Like, it doesn't seem like that comes from the same person. And so you're looking at that and like, what do you think that there's a reason that they kind of like play through the echo of the whistle, so to speak?
I mean, hey, like I said earlier, we don't spin, you know, we got the players that we got and we try to make do. We try to make do with what we got, man. It's just like, It just is what it is. Like, how are we gonna make up those margins, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we don't have a Barbara Banda, when we don't have a, I don't know, go down the line, Tim Wachewinga, Alyssa Thompson,
well, etc. It's not just that. It's like, there's a possibility that Louisville could decide, like, you know what, we are gonna go out and we're gonna get this player.
Mm-hmm.
And they get that player, like,
yeah, we still go play. We still go.
But they don't put anything around them. Like, they don't help that player succeed.
Right.
So, like,
I think, well, first of all, one thing that I've noticed from like just listening to Bev talk a lot, she's intense, and I think when it comes to the foul stuff, I mean, yeah, I think one thing she said earlier this year is that we want to be annoying. You know, the team wants to be annoying. Now, why have we chosen this path? I mean, well, actually, I do know why we chose this. I mean, we can't pass the ball, man. Like we got a team that can't pass the ball. We have attempted the fewest passes in the league, I think rather smartly, and. Yeah, we just got to figure out a way to go through. And you know what? Now, Bev might not have played that way, but she did play in an NWSL that was very different.
Well, this is true.
She played an NWSL, and the playing styles were very different, were quite reminiscent of how Louisville plays now. You know, we're dabbling in some NWSL heritage, baby.
Okay. All right.
You know, high pressing, fouling, crunchy tackles.
Crunchy tackles.
You know, crunchy tackles, man. Shout out Courtney. but yeah, I mean, that's what we got, and we're making do with it. Now, I you know what? I'm not here to make any excuses for him. You know, I'm not here to make any excuses, and I'm not here to apologize either. Okay, mm-hmm. It just is what it is. You come into Lynn Family Stadium, be prepared to leave in one of those like cartoonish full body casts.
So playing Racing Louisville, they might win. They might not win the match, but they're going to win the fight.
We're going to win the fight, man. Okay. We like well, those old Raider teams.
Oh God,
you know. Hey, it just is what it is, and you know what? I am happy that we finally have, I mean, we have a identity.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? We have gone through all these other years of being like nondescript ass.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and now I can look at a team and kind of know what I'm going to see from week to week, know what our plan is to like win a match, and know how we're going to go about winning a match, trying to win a match. You know, these are things that, you know, people that root for competent organizations take for granted. But we've been out here like out to sea week to week. It's just like, man, what are we doing? Right. What are we doing? Like, I mean, because for a long time, even with this like same type of personnel, we were attempting to like kind of play with the ball and stuff. It's just like, man, what are we doing? We not like that. Yeah, and no. So the fact that we have this high press, we go about it, we go about our business in this way, and yeah, we leave and I see all the complaints. I see all the complaints on Blue Sky, whatnot, whatever. You know what? Yeah, like I said, I'm just happy to have an identity, and you can cry about it. Like I said, I'm not here to make excuses for it. I understand it's going to annoy you. It would annoy me, but it is what it is. And most importantly, we're getting results with it. We're getting some good results with it. So
that's the most important part. And the most important stretch of Louisville season is the 6-match stretch that you talked about. So, unfortunately, out of the first 3 matches, you only get 3 points. But you only need, like I said, you only need to get a third of those 18 points, 6 points, to really, like, so your next match, go down to Orlando, battle of purple.
And like I said, I'm feeling good about it. I'm feeling good about it. Which, you know, the reason why this is the battle of the purple is because Louisville City started off as like a 2-team to Orlando City.
Okay.
And so that's why we are purple. And then of course, like, you know, our purple identity to our WOSO thing. Same thing with the pride, I think. And so, yeah, the reason why this is a battle of the purples is because, you know, we're kind of, you know, second cousins.
So y'all are kids. So it's like a family fight. Basically, is what you're saying. So you're saying it could get real ugly.
I mean, maybe. I don't think you can find a single Pride fan that would even know what the hell I'm talking about what I just said right there. But yeah, from my side, yes, that's right. Okay.
All right.
And like I said, I'm feeling confident. I'm feeling confident. I think we can take it to. I mean, what were they just drew the Royals.
I think that Racing Louisville is a more competent team than Utah Royals.
That's it.
And we saw what Utah Royals did this weekend in Orlando.
Okay.
To that Orlando team.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm feeling all right, and I think we can go down there and get these 6 points and just kick this whole thing off. Which, you know, I'm not really, for me, is the four matches. You know, it's the KC twice, Orlando twice. Now, no disrespect to Spirit or Wave, because I think both of them are obviously quite good teams. But like, because, I mean, we played both of them when Katie Lund was still starting. And
tell the folks how much you love Jordan Bloomer. We'll put it that way.
Jordan Bloomer done changed my life, baby. Jordan Bloomer done changed my life. I wouldn't be on here talking all this positivity if Jordan Bloomer was not our keeper. I'll put it that way. And I think because that's one thing is that last year our XG, our expected goal differential, was firmly in the playoffs, and it like tracked that way all season.
Yeah.
And you know, we were in the hunt until like, I think the second to last week, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And I was holding out hope that, you know, I mean, cause those XG tables usually are pretty damn accurate when you look at them at the end of the season. But when you look at what went wrong, when you kind of like dive into the numbers, it's like, okay, our X goal differential said we should have been like six in the table, whatever. How did we end up in ninth again?
Right.
Katie Lund's performance is like the big red flag in our last season. And it was a red flag in this season as well, because we started off the same way. XG differential was looking good. We were out XGing like almost every team we played. Yep. But we were losing. Why was that? Because Katie Lund was letting us solve goals, man. Like, you look at the goal that Raylan Turner scored for the Thorns against us. Katie Lund should have had it. You look at, I think, the first Bay goal that they scored against us, multiples of the Wave goals that they scored. They scored four goals against us, and I think, I mean, I want to say maybe they didn't even eclipse one XG. Like, it was just, like, ridiculous stuff. And clearly Katie Lund was compromised. I don't even know why anyway, so now that we got Jordan Bloomer in, Jordan Bloomer's been balling out. And the turn in our season that y'all were talking about in the recap, NWSL recap pod, yeah, in the crossover, it's when Jordan Bloomer stepped in the sticks. And so stepped in between the sticks. And so, yeah, onwards and upwards. I think, yeah, this is the season. This is the season, Tom. You know, you said it. I'm saying it.
Based off of this performance, yes, the ceiling is a home playoff game. But I think that the more likely answer is being in the playoffs. And I think that,
yeah, that's all we need.
Yeah.
That's all. Please. I'm taking that. Well, you know what? If we the eight, man, let's go ahead and stay home.
You can come visit. It's okay.
If we the eight, man, let's go ahead and give that up to somebody else, man, who might be let's give that to Angel City or something, like, you know, like maybe they're healthy at that point,
maybe,
you know, who knows. Something like that. But yeah, so hopefully we can get seven or six is what I'm looking for, and right. I really think we can cause some chaos if we get in there. Another thing, real quick, just about Kansas City. First of all, I need to get down there.
Yes.
For a current match. It's a lovely drive. I think. Well, lovely might not be the word, but as far as like long drives go, I'll take one that is straight, yes, over me having to turn every 5 to 10 minutes.
That is nice. Although 70 is very, You are taking your life in your hands. I'm driving on I-70 from St. Louis to Kansas City.
Hey, it is. It does get.
Well, Vince, yeah. I appreciate so much you coming on and talking to us about this latest match. Please tell the audience where they can find you and all of the stuff that you are into.
Okay, yeah. So I'm part of two podcasts, one that covers the men's national team, one that covers the women's national team. Women's national team pod is called Boots on the Ground. On Blue Sky at Boots Pod at, you know, .bluesky.social. We still running on X, baby. Twitter, mostly because I refuse to like get a place. He gonna deprive from my dead hands. I can't lie to you.
I get it.
And you know, it's just one of those things where you like, you know, an abusive relationship or something. It's like you remember the good old days. it's like man, I don't know syndrome or whatever, but I'd be expecting just to open my phone up and just see the funniest stuff that I've ever seen, you know, while I'm scrolling down my TL. But no, like the new thing this week is just white people doing Nazi salutes, like literally, like I'm not joking with you. So yeah, we're there at Boots Pod, Boots on the Ground at all places where podcasts are found. And then the men's national team one is Scuff Podcast. I think it's .bluesky.social or Scuff Pod, one of the two. On Twitter at Scuff Pod. But yep, that is me. Find me there talking about soccer.
All right.
Thank you for having me, Tom.
Thank you so much for coming through, Vince. We really appreciate you. This has been The Current Moment, where we keep you current on all things KC Current, and we will see you next time.